eyes to see. Yes, we have eyes to see. And we do see. We have ears to hear.
And we do hear.
And our heart is perceiving.
This word is for us.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath. Let it go. A couple more times. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. I received a word this afternoon around 4 o'clock. Could have been 4:30, whatever. And I was pressed to write it down because it was important. I had a lot on my mind. The brains are constantly working. But this is what he said to me. My son, be at peace. The show of force will be so outstanding and the evidence so clear that defense will not even try to deny. I am in control. Jezebel will scream as she falls off her throne. As her use of lust to manipulate some kings with a small K, kings, will not work. Even now, some will commit suicide as they see the day approaching. Look and pray for mercy for those that I show you, and do not feel sorry for these who chose to reject me. Their destiny is clear, and it will be respected. Trust and obey. Some that were the results of blackmail will choose to repent, and for these, a path to restoration will be open for those I have prepared to their hearts, and their plea will have mercy in their hearts. I am a compassionate and loving God, and I make a way for all who are sincere. Remember, I created the heart of men. Jesus died for them as he died for David, for Peter, for Paul. I am a compassionate father. Rest and be at peace. I love you. I read it after I got done. And I said to the Lord, it's hard to discern what someone will do when faced with truth. If you study the word of the Lord, when King Ahab was manipulated, whatever choices he made was respected then. Whatever Jezebel chose at that time was respected then. And even if you look at the book of Revelations and you see Jezebel is given an opportunity to repent. You see, your battle is not against flesh and blood. And I believe with all my heart that we're facing a season where it will be difficult. I believe that young army that you're speaking of is very real. And for the young, their experience is limited. So my quest is this, that Holy Spirit will release some spiritual fathers and mothers to support the young troops and to intercede for them and to pray and keep them aware that they're not alone, that they're being cared for and worked with, as the generals from heaven are released into this area for his own purpose. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we also want to lift up Peter Authier, that his situation is not hopeless, but that you are going to do something awesome for him as he testifies of your goodness in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I had a press today, a couple times, to go back and look at some of the areas that he wanted me to focus on. And, you know, God is trying to educate us. He's trying to awaken us that there's so much more. And I'd like to share with you a little bit about what the character of the kingdom is like. For the kingdom of God is not of meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, verse 17. Jesus came into the world to set up the kingdom of heaven, not to banish the Romans from Jerusalem. See, that was the carnality of the disciples of that day. They just focused on those Romans, and they knew they were their biggest problem. Because he walked in obedience and truly represented the Father in the earth, he came into direct confrontations with the world, the flesh, and the devil. He consistently refused to meddle with the kingdoms of this world, even though they came to him on one occasion in an attempt to make him their king by force. My kingdom is not of this world, he said, John 18:36. He came to bring to earth a different kind of kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God on earth. Some would try to make a distinction between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Just take your concordance and look up these terms as used in the four Gospels, and it becomes self-evident that it is one and the same kingdom. Just to pause for a moment. In the religious realm, the Lord's Prayer is recited at every service that I'm aware of. And it is repeated over and over and over, and it's never called upon to become a reality. It's a ritual that is poured out of mouths, and most are repetition without a heartfelt gratitude of any kind. And I'm a testimony to that. When Holy Spirit started to push my buttons to change the words, which I've shared with you, "Thy kingdom come," it was so foreign for me to ask for his kingdom to be established in my earth, in my body, that it didn't fit my narrative. It was really the teachings of years and years of training, like the list of multiplications. I could recite them and then figure it out later. But it was never told to us to figure it out. It was just repetition. It had no heart-to-heart connection. I can remember when we opened up the Tuesday night service at Grace Church of Christ. And one of my intercessors said, what are you going to call our group? And I said, well, I want them to see the Father's heart. So This person went in the other room, prayed for a little while, came back in, knocked at the door. What about heart to heart? I said, that fits. Yes. So some of you might have remembered it was heart to heart. Mm-hmm. Who's got a free hand? Yeah. Just pass that around for a minute. If you'll notice, when you look at that, it's heart to heart. It's to remember that every son of God wants to reveal his Father. And if you don't know the Father's love and you've never had a Father's love, you cannot give out something you've never tasted. So, quite a few years forward, I had a beautiful ring that I had received from my dad, and I wore it. And all of a sudden, it broke. So when it broke, I had another ring that my wife had given me. So I sent it to Joe, the jeweler, and he melted the gold. And to make a long story short, tried to make it into a ring with the theme of heart to heart. And it never worked. Quite a few years later, he calls me. Kim, I guess I'm just going to have to eliminate the gold from the ring so you've got some a credit. So I went over there and I prayed and I said, Lord, you know, what do you really have? He said, it's sitting in the showcase. And so the ring you're looking at is a heart-to-heart ring. It's the heart of the Father released into the earth through his Son. Namely, every man and woman in the earth has that privilege. So when we declare that we are part of the kingdom of God, and we acknowledge that his kingdom is to be a kingdom of love, but if you really love your nation, you're going to fight for it. That's what your dream is all about, girl. It's a willingness for this generation to say, we're not going to lose what we have, what has been handed down to us. And the people who shed their blood in Europe and in the Middle East and all over this globe to keep America free, their willingness of the hearts of this generation is seen in your dream. And the kingdom of God brought down from heaven to embrace the hearts of men. The principle upon which this kingdom would be established are principles of righteousness, truth, meekness, and love. I repeat. Righteousness, truth, meekness, and love. See him stand before Pilate, a representative of the most powerful of all empires, up to that time, and see how he replies to the question, are you a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. John 18:37. The kingdom of God is righteousness, First and foremost, it is a kingdom of righteousness, for without righteousness, God's righteousness, there can be no real peace. And without righteousness and peace, there can be no real joy in the hearts of men. Now, righteousness is a free gift of God, and it comes to us by the workings of His grace. You can't manufacture it out of yourself. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:21. That one I would recognize that you need to really look at it. Romans 5:21. Eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The kingdom of righteousness has invaded the kingdom of sin and death. There are many kinds of kings and rulers and dictators, both in the world and in the church. But over them all, there is a greater potentate who has the final authority, and this one is death. Did you think about that? There is a short reign of glory and power. It is all over. All lay down their crowns at the throne of death. Kings in the church do the same. They may rule and reign in splendor, have large followings, bring the masses under their subjection, receive adoration and honor from the multitudes, but sooner or later, they themselves submit to a still greater potentate, even death. But when the kingdom of heaven is truly making inroads into the lives of men, God's servants begin to reign in life because of the workings of the cross in their life. Did you hear that? Righteousness is ministered to the hearts of men, and grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. As part of the ministration of righteousness by the Holy Spirit, there is no abiding foundation for peace, and much less for joy. This order is generally reversed because, generally speaking, the kingdoms of the church are based on worldly principles. Joy is the quest of the world. So it has become the cornerstone of our church gatherings. Tighten your seatbelts right now, because you're going to hear something. The music is like the music of the world and is designed to bring joy. The young people are caught up with the pleasures of the world, so we will incorporate worldly pleasure into our religious services. We will have worldly music and worldly games in our church gatherings, and in this way we can get more people, young people, involved in our church activities. And they call it the joy of the Lord. In many cases, it is like the crackling of thorns under a pot. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 6. Now, what is righteousness? The good works of the people? Not really. Christ Jesus is made unto us righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Again, if you keep that in note, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ Jesus is made unto us. It is Him doing His work in us and imparting that righteousness. This puts the whole matter in an entirely different light. There ought to be good works, this is true, but they are not really righteous deeds in the sight of God, except that they be the outworking of Christ Himself in our midst. In other words, you can have a church doing all godly things under an anointing of good works, and God looks at it like, what is this for? Is it making you happy? Or is it a directive that I gave you out of my kingdom? And when you put that on the scales, you're going to be in trouble. Because if it's not directed of the Lord, it is a work of flesh. And the works of flesh are going to be what? They're going to be burned up. So again, why is it so important, as I shared with you earlier? Listen to the direction of the Lord instead of getting a good idea from the newspaper or the news. Get your instructions from Him, because that will bring righteousness. Amen? Amen. It is only as we are abiding in Christ that His righteousness is revealed in our lives. Only as Christ walks in His people, leading, motivating, energizing, and manifesting His own life, are we truly a manifestation of the righteousness of God in this earth. We might bring forth some very impressive programs, religious or otherwise. We might preach and evangelize and get involved with all kinds of Christian outreach. But if it is because of human zeal and not the fruits of righteousness of Christ in our lives, if it is not because we are working together with God in the yoke of Christ or in the yoke of the anointing, all these wonderful works are but as filthy rags. In his sight, and will avail nothing in the day of the anointing. When He was looking to the judgment seat, He made it very clear. I never knew you. Oh, we cast out demons in your name. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. Why did you do all this? Oh, we fed the hungry for 3 weeks because they were starved. Well, was it my direction? Or was it something that was a bright idea? You see, a bright idea might be godly, but it might also be disruptive to the purpose of what God has prepared for you. Amen? Righteousness and peace. Then judgment or justice shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah 32, verses 16 and 17. When peace becomes our pursuit, we can very easily build a kingdom of peace based on our own effort. We see it in the world about us, but it is also rampant in the church. The spirit of compromise has overwhelmed God's people. It seems necessary for survival. God help us to discern the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. That's probably the most important piece to this whole teaching. God help us to discern the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. If we are getting a good idea and we run with it, it can be a total failure. I'll give you an example. 3 or 4 of the elders at Grace had this incredible idea. We're going to start a move, and everybody who has clothing that they're not needing, we found 3 rooms in the building, and one of them was right next to where I had my office, and it got filled within a week and a half. Do you know what we did with it? Most of the clothes were dirty. The stench from that room was unbearable, even the hallway's stench. And nobody wanted to participate because everybody got rid of their junk instead of bringing something useful. And I can remember saying, oh my God, how long? Every time I had to go to the men's room, I had to hold my nose. Was that a bright idea from heaven? Or was that a good idea from hell to keep everybody uncomfortable in the hallway? You see, I've lived some of this stuff. And so when I say to you, it's got to be Holy Ghost invested. It's got to be Holy Spirit that's going to do. It cannot be a good idea because we want to satisfy our own whatever. And fill in the blank. Do our motives spring from the indwelling anointing? Hear me again. Do our motives spring from the indwelling Christ? Or are we compromising the truth for the sake of unity? I've seen that happen at Grace Church of Christ. I was there for 20 years, so I've had a little practice. Many times, compromise was given in order to keep peace because the tithers would be rebelling. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I'm not talking to myself. Okay? Jesus came not to send peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34. The truth will cut you open. Hopefully, you're going to see the anointing. He came to do justice, to establish righteousness, and peace will be the fruit of it. But this will bring confrontation with the world about us. Friend against friend, brother against brother, father against son, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. This is inevitable. Because the kingdom of God is based on righteousness. The wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable. James 3:17. Gentle and easy to be entreated. Yes, it is not harsh and cruel, but neither can it be compromising. It must be first pure. True peace will come out of this. True gentleness and meekness will come out of this. The pure in heart will see God and will manifest and show forth the love and the mercy and the gentleness of Christ. But in the midst of it all, he will know God's grief because of the sin of his people and will love righteousness and hate iniquity as Jesus did. And joy in the Holy Ghost. It seems to me that the kingdom that prevails out there in the church today is very much like the world. It is a kingdom based on joy. Who would deny that God wants his people to have the joy of the Lord? But the joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a laughter encounter. Unless it's driven by the Lord. Is it the fruit that grows from the vine of truth and righteousness? It is not something you try to produce with a lot of good, snappy music. It is not manufactured by the mechanics of praise and worship. It is not the enthusiasm and excitement that is generated by an entertainer who knows how to stir up emotions, but does not draw the hearts to brokenness and repentance. It is the oil of joy that flows from the olive berry that has known the crushing and pressing in the vats of God's dealings. It is the joy of Sarah who calls her newborn son laughter, which is Isaac. Because of God's faithfulness in bringing fruitfulness and blessings to a woman of 90 years old, who has long bemoaned her state of barrenness before Abraham and before the Lord. It is the joy of Hannah, who likewise knew sorrow of heart and much reproach, because she was helplessly barren, but she came to the place where she could rejoice in a God who brings down the high and the mighty and exalts the lowly, who brings desolation to those who gloried in their fruitfulness and caused the barren woman to be a mother of seven. Thought I was done, but I'm not. It is the joy of Joseph, whose feet were laid in fetters and whose soul was laid in iron, but who, in the fulfillment of God's dealing in his life, wept over his brethren with tears of joy and victory, and rejoiced in the sovereign working of God in his life, in the God who gives the oil of joy for mourning. It is the joy of Paul, who thought himself happy to be bound in chains, yet knowing he was free because he knew he was a prisoner of the Lord. Happiness is not a feeling that comes and goes because of circumstances. It is not something you have to work up when you come to church after a long, miserable week on the job. It is that abiding state of blessedness that is yours in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the pressure, because you know that you are walking with God and doing his will and reigning in life by Christ Jesus. I can tell you that when I was at Grace, on an average week and the average month, there were many intercessors that would go around and pray over each pew and lay hands on those pews and intercede many times for a long time, so that when the people would walk in, the anointing would be in the room. Why? Because it fed the hungry or it clothed the poor? No, it set the captives free. People came with their burdens and their hopelessness, and they were changed because of intercessors that were not selfish about their time slot. And they gave up of themselves, and they came diligently and continued to pray in the Spirit, sometimes for hours. So the miracles didn't happen because of one man. The miracles happened because of a corporate body of people that worked together with a goal. Not to feed the hungry, not to clothe the naked, but to set the captives free. When the captives went home, they didn't need a new set of clothes. They were dressed in the garments of glory that God had released upon them. They weren't hungry because they had gone to the pizza place and filled themselves up before they got home and celebrated over there while they spread the good news. Sunday, I watched everybody fill up their tummy and the goodies that were provided. There's a time and place for all these things. But it's got to come from the heart of the Lord. It's got to come with the right spirit. And when it's under that right spirit, the fruits are going to be awesome. I watched David, that had not been with us for a long time, and he went home with a plate of goodies. Okay? I've known that kid since he was a teenager at the YMCA. And the Holy Spirit, he was doing his exercises on the floor, and I kept walking around him. Holy Spirit said to me, by the way, how many of those are you doing? Oh, he says, I got to keep on going, and he's pushing and pushing. And I got to know him. And there was a lot of brokenness. And right in that office, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost because of a nudge from God. Today, he's gone through a marriage and a divorce and a lot of pain. And we had one person who had a word for him that his wings were almost down to the ground, and he couldn't fly. But God's Holy Ghost, through an obedient vessel, gave the word. That's what changes this from a house of prayer to a house of compassion and righteousness, and to give out a young man some hope for tomorrow. Thank you.